to be young again and to learn what we're learning today. Amen. My mama brought me to St. Mary's Church. That church will be in my heart forever. I am thankful. But when she brought me to Mass, it was in Latin. I knew when to stand up, when to sit down, when to kneel. I know that the priests were trying to tell me about God. And they used big words I didn't understand. And then they spoke in Latin. So when I left there, I didn't know what I saw. Amen. If I knew the things that I did in my life, where God would have pulled me back to the center, or in the arguments that I had, he would pull me back to the center, or the things that I learned, if I had learned them when I was younger, you can't say it enough, amen, to be young, like our sister Cassie, so young to receive the word. Whether how much she receives of it, it doesn't matter. Seeds are being planted, and then one day she'll see, and she'll begin to trust in a different way, because they're not telling them. I don't know how much your professors are talking, your high school teachers mention Jesus during the day, but I would gather that not very often. Or they talk about God, or how God can help you, how God can heal lands, amen. How his love can heal lands, amen. So we have to do it here. We have to plant. You have to plant seeds in your grandchildren. Amen. You have to plant these seeds. And don't look for the fruit. Just keep planting the seed. That's your job. Just keep. And the more you know about Jesus, the more you know about his word, the better you can plant the seeds. The more you talk about God and give him praise and glory for your car, for the weather, for everything you, whatever you have that you love, you give them praise. Well, what are you talking about, Grandpa? What are you talking about, Nana? Said, God bless me with this. And let them think about that. You just plant those seeds, and they'll have that edge. Amen. They'll have more, because that's our God. Amen. That's the God who loves all of us. Isn't he great? Ain't he great, God? Give him praise, church. Our God. was so pretty. It made me smile, made me feel good in church. Imagine that. Let's stand up and pray together, church. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's our Father in heaven, amen? And he is real, amen? Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you had a blessed holiday. And we have a lot to be thankful for. You see the weather in other parts of the country. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters and what they're going through today. Does that mean God's not with them? No. That means they have to deal with some things. And I pray that God's with them even more and brings them closer as a family and maybe as a neighborhood brings them closer. Because, you know, bad things happen to good people. I mean, we all fall under troubles. The last 3 years, we've been getting blizzard upon blizzard upon blizzard, losing power and the roads being covered. So we have a lot to be thankful for, amen, and yet we have a lot to pray about. So let's remember that. My glasses are nice. That's okay, I'm brave today. Responsive reading in unison. Probably on the table. You ready? Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Hallelujah. That's a great reading. And who did it happen to? The shepherds. Amen. Sergio, remember we talked about it wasn't the kings at the nativity scene? And then we were watching Duck Dynasty. You ever watch those guys? The Robertsons, actually Willie preaches in the church in Nashville. When he'll come and one of the biggest churches down there, and he'll actually preach. And we watched an episode with them, and the wives wanted them to do the play and have the manger scene, they're all going to play a part. And Willie said, "Which one of us are going to be the kings?" And I said, "No, Willie, what are you doing?" Because the kings weren't at the manger. Who were at the manger? The shepherds. And I wanted to call and say, "Willie, what are you doing? You just ruined my whole sermon." So, praise God. Thank you. What a beautiful time. What a beautiful blessing. You woke up today and you got ready for church. Isn't that a blessing? You have smiles. You have joy in your heart. You have loved ones. You have plans for later. Those are blessings. Amen. You have dreams for the day after. Those are blessings. Amen. You have things in your life you want to accomplish. And God has put things in your heart. And God says, "I want to help you with those." Amen. Who would not want to worship that God? Amen. Who wants goodwill to who? All men. Nobody's separated unless they choose to be separated. Amen. We had a man come here for our Christmas Eve service. And he walked in and he looked around and he said, "Oh, did you have a 4 o'clock? And I said, "Yes." "Well, I'm a Catholic," he said to me. And I said, "You're a brother. To stop putting the wall between you. Why are you doing that?" I said, "I'm glad that that's where you go to get fed." I said, "But we're all Christian." And he said, "You do communion here?" I said, "Every Sunday." "So we only do it once a week, once a month." And I said, "Okay. But we're all brothers and sisters. Why are we separating each other? When God saved the world, amen, he saved all who will what? Believe. Amen. So our testimony today, and God's testimony, is saying, all who come to me, all who want to know me, all who want to just hear my words and believe what I'm saying to you, believe in me, he says, and you shall have eternal life. Does he say that to anybody in particular? No. Our God says it to all who believe. Amen. Other religions, man-made religions, separate us. Have you not seen that in the world? Have you not seen what man does to God? Man separates. I had a friend who was of another religion years ago, and I said, come to my church. Oh, I can't do that. His church won't allow him to come here. Okay. It just, the testimony to God is like that song said, I know a guy that was a sinner. I know a guy that was a drunk. I look in the mirror every day and see somebody that needs to repent, somebody that needs to ask God to remove my iniquities, help me with my iniquities. Because the Bible says we don't sin against man, we sin against God. When you say things you're not supposed to, you sin against God. When you do things you're not supposed to, you're sinning against God. And he's not mad at you about it. God doesn't get mad at us. But what you do causes effects to you that he would have protected you from if you followed what he was saying. It's that simple. The things that we choose to do cause the problems in our lives sometimes. Amen? Like I said, bad things happen to good people. That's true. But it's how well you know God to get through those situations too. Amen? But we do things every day that we need to say, Lord, the devil's got me on this one, Lord. This is something, I really enjoy this, Lord. And I enjoy it. And it's the devil saying you enjoy it. Because God is saying, if you remove it, I will bless you. If you remove it, I will fill you with something better than what you think you enjoy today. That's from Satan. Amen? Your thoughts, the things we do. And that's the testimony of our God. Somebody once said, when somebody gives you something and you didn't do any, it keeps giving you something every week. You didn't earn it, but it keeps giving you. After a while, it doesn't mean anything to you. You have all this stuff that somebody gave you that you didn't earn. And sometimes that's what our God's like. He has blessed us with his son. He gave us eternal life. He gave us these blessings, but we didn't do anything to earn it. So we don't really see. Well, we didn't put any toil into it, so they really sometimes don't mean as much to us. But God gave us that because he loved us. Amen? And that's his testimony. He said, I loved you before you even knew me. I loved you before you even asked me. And his testimony, just love him. Trust him. Lean on him. Tell others about him, because that's how you change the world. Amen? Y'all got friends. How many got friends said, I would never believe that so-and-so would come to church? Anybody ever? I can't believe. Well, I'm telling you right now, in this church, there's friends in here of mine that I would have never believed 20 years ago that it would come to church and never miss a Sunday. Amen? And I give him praise and glory every week. And I say, Lord, let me feed them so that they feel like this is their home. Let me feed them so that they know you better every week. Because I see miracles with my own eyes. Amen? You see them too. And so why, after seeing those miracles, would we not want more of that? Amen? Amen? That's our God. That's the God we love. How much you want to know is between you and him. We can't force you to take it. All we can keep doing is telling you about him. And that's his testimony. That if you just keep telling people about him, telling your friends about him, your children about him, letting them see something you knew they didn't see 10 years ago, 2 months ago, that will draw people to this church. And that's good for the church, but it will draw people to God and build our family. Amen? Let's give him praise and worship. That's the testimony. Lord, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, we need to praise him more. And if we don't praise him here, I guarantee you're not going to praise him on Wednesday afternoon when you're at a red light. But if you start praising him here, you'll start to understand that was the red light God saying, hold it for a minute. And then go. You don't know what he kept you from. Amen? Lord, that's the testimony. We just need to see you in our lives, each one of us. Because each one of us hear your voice a different way. You speak to me in a way different than you speak to my elder. You speak to me in a different way than you speak to my wife. Yet we all hear your voice. So we all need to be in tune to our shepherd, to Master's voice. So we all need to get that, and listen for that voice. Listen to that leaning. Listen to that strength. So when trouble comes, we have a foundation to stand on that won't move us to the left and right. That'll keep us firm. And that's where our faith becomes stronger. And when you walk us through each trial and tribulation, our faith becomes stronger until we know that we know, even though we face trials and tribulations, that you're with us and there is nothing to fear. And with nothing to fear, our bodies begin to heal. Our mind begins to heal. Our spirit begins to calm down. And we get to hear your voice even more. In Jesus' name, I pray that we all receive that message today, if nothing else, to hear your voice, to know your voice, to let you lead us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Church is good. How about that? Praise the Lord. Just, well, I saw something, and you learn, you always learn. But you, anybody in the military, anybody with, you get captured, what's the first thing they tell you? Put your hands up. Amen. Or you get captured, you say, I surrender. You put your hands up. What do you say? I surrender. And so when you see people praying in church and they're lifting their hands up, basically that's, they're saying, I surrender all. You, when you put your hands up in prayer, and let me tell you, it took me 6 months at the church where I went to, and I mean, there were 300 people on a Sunday, Elder Pat, right? And I went there the first time, and people are standing up, and they're praising hallelujah, and I'm thinking, this place is crazy. It took me, because I was, Father, my hands bowed, and that's humble prayer when your hands are bowed when you're alone. But when you're praising Him and you put your hands up, it just means I surrender all. That's all it means. It just means, Lord, I surrender. I give up. I want you to fill me. I just thought that would be interesting. You know, we're covered by the blood of Christ. Amen. And that's something that you need to understand in a beautiful way. He sacrificed once for all. For who? Hallelujah. It is finished, he said, to all believers. Why is this so important? Because it separates us from the world. Amen? We are made holy. We are part of the family of God. Miss Pat, you are part of that family. You have access to the throne room. That just open the door and walk in because you are part of the family. His blood, his sacrifice covers us. God looks down and doesn't see your sins because they're covered by the blood. Amen? The blood of the Lamb. I want to remember. You all remember. That's going to be a sermon. We are no longer in need of invitation. We are no longer in need of a mediator. The Bible says simply, come boldly to the throne room. Right, Miss Mary? It says, come boldly. What does that mean? Boldly to the throne room. That means you come to God boldly because you have the word behind you and because he said to do that. The throne. Who's coming boldly? Us. And he separates us from the world. Yet who can accept Jesus? The world. Amen. Who did he come for? All of us. Amen. So when the world separates himself from God. Amen. God never separated himself from anybody. It's the world. The Bible calls it the world. Who separates himself from who? It's a chosen man. You make a choice. And God is not a respecter of person or title. You all know that? He doesn't care what title you have. He doesn't care if you call me pastor because I'm leading you. But he's not. It doesn't care if you're a bishop, whatever. He doesn't care about your title. He's not a respecter of people, he says. There's only one thing. One thing he asks, that we love his son. That's the one thing that God asks you to do, to love his son, to learn about his son, to read his word. Hallelujah. That we believe Jesus, that with each day we walk and act in a manner that brings others to his love. Can you imagine that? You know, all your life, if there's anybody that you ever met that all of a sudden they didn't like you and they don't come, they don't want it, they don't nothing, it's because of how you talk or how you act or the words you use. Yet if you start to follow God, even those people will come back. They said, because we want to hear a good report. Amen. My pastor used to say, Pastor Grace used to say all the time, be careful who you ask, how are you today? Because some people down there are going to tell you how they, oh my God, oh my back. And so people are going to stop asking because they want to hear a good report. They want you to lie? No. But they want to hear, I've been having back problems, but God's going to get me through it. He got me through this, and I know I'm going to be stronger tomorrow, and I believe with you. They want to hear good talk. Not lies, not false talk. Amen. Are you with me? But they want to hear good. They want to hear a good when you call people. They want to hear an encouragement. Hey, it's great to hear from you today. It's good to see you. Let's go break bread. Let's go have dinner. Let's go to a movie. They want to hear good things from you. They want to be encouraged by what you have to say. If you see something about somebody and you don't like it, put a sentry at your lips. Amen. There's no need. What are you saying? You know, how many people are mad at somebody for something they said 10 years ago? I mean, I know people. God bless you. My mother was like that. They get mad at you. They're mad at you for 10 years. What are you mad about? And then they want an answer. They want something. They want to be fed something that will never solve the problem. And you know what solves the problem? God. Giving it to God. That solves the problem. So I can't deal with this. I can't handle it. I'm giving it to God because I got too many other things to take care of. I'll let God handle the big stuff. Amen? When you do that, when you really give it to Him, you're free. You're free. You're free to enjoy the life that God has blessed you with. You're not burdened by somebody else's problems. Amen? But I'm just saying, the miracle to bring others to His love. Somebody makes you mad, love them more. Somebody hurts your feelings, love them more. Confuse them with God. Amen? His love that glorifies God. Our words, our actions, our attitudes to others. What we do that, and it's God who lifts us up. How many want to be lifted up by God? My hand, I'll tell you, I'll never be down. He blesses our lives. Listen to these four words. Love, peace, joy, and strength. Those are gifts from God. Amen? You hear stuff, you see stuff in the world. Those are four words you don't hear, do you? You don't hear anything about love. You don't hear anything about joy, anything about peace, anything about strength. Because why? They're not talking about who? Of course they're not. Amen. They're not talking about God in school. So how can kids have any peace, joy, and love? Amen. How can they show any love when nobody's talking to them about love? They're all talking to them about what you owe me and what I need to have and about self. Amen. Of course they're not, because nobody's talking about love. Amen. And this is of God. Listen to this. He's not ready. He's not like, God's not like, you did this, so I'll do this. And people think that He's going to pour blessings on you for doing good. No, here's the key. Here's the beautiful part of it. He's not there waiting to give you a gift, to reward you for doing something good. You did this, so God will do that. The miracle begins. Say that with me. The miracle begins. The fruit, the reward comes because we are doing the things Jesus taught us to do and what the world tells us to do. It's the fruit of that labor that brings the blessings. You see, He's not looking at you and, oh, blessing you for this, blessing you, oh, that. No, it's what you're doing and how you're acting when you're walking Christ-like that the blessings flow from those people that you don't even expect, from jobs that you never thought, from people around you, the love that you receive. That's the fruit of walking like Jesus, amen? The blessings in your business because of your attitude, because of how good you are. That's the fruit of God blessing you because you're doing right. The Bible simply says, you shall have good success. That's what it says in Joshua. You shall have good what? How you'd have it? By following who? By reading this word, meditating on His word, Sergio. Just this word. You don't need anybody else's approval, amen? You don't need anybody else telling you how to do it. You need God showing you the way. And every day that He shows you the way, you have what? Good success. Amen? You don't need it. You don't need anything else. Hallelujah. Because you follow, it's awesome. Let me tell you, as a pastor, I'm just a man. But I can tell you, the last 25 years of my life with the Lord, it's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. When I first started following God, I had no idea where He was going to bring me. But He brought me a half a block away from where I grew up to preach the Word of God in this most beautiful church. God brought me from there to here. It's amazing. Did He take my music away? Absolutely not. Did He take my hunting and fishing away? Absolutely not. He gave me some more joy than I ever thought possible. And He brought me right back to my home, right a half a block away from where this boy grew up. Who can do that besides God? No one. Amen. And look at the family that He's blessing us all with. Amen. Who's doing this? God is doing it. Hallelujah. It's awesome to see. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Isn't that God? Impossible. Somebody would have told you it's impossible. I say, good. Give me the impossible now, because I know if it's impossible, then I'm working with Him now. See? And that's what I want in your life every single day. As I said, I wish I could be young like Cassie again and be fed this and try to learn and try to grow in this, because he's got so many doors to open. You want favor with your boss. Anybody ever have that problem? Pray about favor with your boss. Favor with a job, for a parking place. How many times have Dave laughed at us? But that's seeing God in every single thing that I do. And that how changes my life, amen? If I don't get a park, we don't want a parking place in front of the door. In fact, my wife will tell you, I'm happy with a parking place at the end of the driveway. She'd always say, but I don't care. It's God providing, amen? Maybe sometimes he wants to see how thankful you are. Maybe it's not the perfect one. He said, I got one over there. How's that? And you say, thank you, Lord. And he's saying, my son is thankful. My son appreciates. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then the one who brought him, who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, he heard him. He healed him so that the blind and mute both spoke and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? This is Matthew 12:22. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Will not what?
Stand.
If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me. Let me read that again. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. You can see that. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven man. How many sins? How many? Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. Imagine that. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen to that? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will be given account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. By your words you will be justified. You accept Jesus in your heart, you have been justified. By your what? By your words. You say, Lord, take me. Lord Jesus, I love you. By that testimony, by your words, you have been what? Justified. If you don't, you've got your reward. Amen. And so there's one sin. The Bible calls it the unpardonable sin. Is it an action? Not really. Maybe. It's simply the opposite of faith. Who do we do it to? Who do we commit the unpardonable sin to? Ourselves. Amen. Has anybody here ever thought of that? Anybody ever afraid that you were going to commit the unpardonable sin? A lot of Christians think that, well, I don't know, man, I hope I didn't. No. Is God judging us? No, we judge ourselves. You know, we do it to ourselves. But nobody in this church has to worry about that. Amen. God, the unpardonable sin is refusing him. Completely. Seeing the blue sky, seeing nature and saying somebody else created it. Seeing love and saying it's not from God. Seeing blessings and saying they're not from God. Seeing your children and saying there's no God. I don't need God. There's no such thing as God. Anybody ever hear anybody say that? I have. There's no such thing. God is just made up for other people to follow. Just a thing to another thing to bring people in money. All the churches want is money. That's what these people say. There is no God. So the unpardonable sin isn't really sin at all. It's just not accepting God. There's no God, so there's no forgiveness. There's no God, so there's no repenting. There's no God, so there's no need to worry about what we do in life. I've heard people say, this is it. This is all there is. When we die, there is no more. That's the unpardonable sin. He can't forgive you if you don't ask for forgiveness. He loves us. He wants us to. But if we don't acknowledge him, we don't accept him, and we give credit to the devil for the things that he has given to us, if we give credit to nothing that he has blessed us with, then he says, you have your reward. Amen? It's that simple. That's why you should never worry about whether you're good enough or not, or whether you believe enough or not, whether your faith is strong enough or not. Your faith has got you to this point. Your faith is plenty strong enough. Your word is plenty strong enough. You believe. That's why you're here. That's why you want to be fed. That's why you want to be blessed in the year 2016. Amen? Because you want to walk with God. Are you with me? Now, this manager, his name is Bill Madden. You know who he is, Bill? He used to manage the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Rays. Thank you. And now he's managing the Chicago Cubs. He believes in one word, unity. Unity. He said, I do everything in the clubhouse to bring unity. I believe it's building a family, he said. I want unity. I want a family. I want people here wanting to serve each other, wanting to be a part of a team. He gets that. All the people playing for him, all the players say, he's the greatest guy to work for because I feel like we're a team. Amen? Well, it's so much more with God. Unity, sacrifice, not seeking our own, but lifting each other up. That's the unity of the church. Amen? This church becomes divided, it won't be able to stand. Amen? If it gets unfocused on something else besides Jesus, we will fail as a church. Amen? But as long as he's our light, as long as he's there looking down on us, and that light is right here, and we focus on that light, we are in unity. Amen? Does that mean that we're going to get along all the time? No. Does that mean we're not going to have any disagreements? No. But here's the key. Each one of us caring more about the weakest of us. The weakest link in the church is the one we need to lift up and make stronger, because this is our body. Amen? If your elbow hurt, you would fix your elbow. If your wrist hurt, you would do something to fix your wrist. Anything, you would fix it. So we need to make sure that the weakest links in our church are strongest, because then we are stronger. Amen? Hallelujah. Each of us caring more to help another before even our own needs. Hallelujah. Your needs are met by others because their needs were met by you. Amen? We stop looking at I want and say, what do you want? And that person says, well, not what I want, what you want. And all of a sudden, unity, amen, and bond and a family get so strong that nothing can pull them apart. Amen. Disagreements are going to happen. So what? Amen. We're going to be disappointed about this or that. So what? Amen. As long as God is shining and is shining on the light and the house, we all come together and the house is stronger. Amen. And then you know what? You start to act more like God. You say, well, gee, you know, I really wanted this, but I see that you're upset. Let's fix it. And then that person remembers and says, see somebody else upset. Let's say, let's fix it. Let's get that unity. Bill Madden was talking the other day, and I said, he's got it. He might not be talking about God, but he's got it. He's got it. It's a family. We're all a family. Mike, when you're not here, we miss you not being here. And we don't call you, and where are you coming to church? We don't yell at people for not coming. We just say, we missed you. We want you here. We want our family to be stronger. Amen? Gary's not here today with his wife, Kim, Bill. I'm looking forward to them coming back and being part of the family. Because well, there you go. He's not, but I want him to know. You tell him that we said he's part of the family now. He's come. He likes it here. We spoke to Bonnie. I mean, it's so beautiful when we lift each other up. Amen? That's what a church does. Amen? We lift each other up. Oh, the power of God in a church. All right, we need leaders, amen? We need workers, the ministry of help. You saw what happened this year. You saw Art and Gladys, Mary and Joseph with the flowers and all the things. You see all the things, Elder Pat and Tom coming and cleaning. I mean, so many. We shouldn't even name names, but I just had to just say we need more. Elder Pat and I both know we need another elder. We need two elders. We need three elders, because that's the prayer warrior. I want you to understand she's the elder. She's the prayer warrior. She's the one that's not going to let you complain twice. I'm telling you, she ain't. She's the one that's going to give you God's word, whether you accept it or not, is between. Well, we need that. The church needs elders. I need help. Deacon Gary has been a blessing to this church because I said, I need help. I need you to. And he did the Bible study, which was an absolute beautiful thing for our church this year. We all need help. I need deacons here. We have Deacon Bill and all the deacons. They need help. They need help to help run the things and to do other work. What's in their heart? But we need elders. We need a ministry of helps. And when you help, when you come here when nobody else is here and you start doing things, all of a sudden this becomes your house. Your house. And when it becomes your house, the house is stronger. Amen. And that's how Second Congregational is going to get stronger and stronger. Are you with me, church? Give him praise. Hallelujah. A church on fire for God. The new year is coming. That's a good chance to circle day one, January, say, I'm going to begin January giving my heart to God more. I want to lean on God more. I want to give first fruits to God. The Bible talks about first fruits. That's your first of what you get, the best of the crop. Amen. Not the crop later in the, but the first crop, the crop that you have, the fresh crop, to give it to God, whatever you're doing. So I would ask you simply to give your heart more to God. This is your year. Amen. It's always your day when you're with him, but say, this is my year to grow more. I want to see God in my life more. I want to see where he brings me, because the Bible says there's more than what I have today. I want good success. I want to prosper. I want to see the church on fire. I want to see families coming together. I want to lift up people. I want to be different for God. This is a great time. You know, we look at the calendar and, well, everybody has New Year's resolutions, but if your resolution is simply to know him better, that resolution will resonate throughout the whole year, and so many different things will happen, because you'll go back to the things you gave up on the resolution. That might last till January 3rd, but if you start following God, that will continue to snowball, and the more you see him, the more you'll want. And I tell you that this could be your year. This is your year. This church is on fire for God. Amen. We're growing. Amen. We're growing because we're feeding his word. All of us are feeding off his word. Give him praise and glory, church. December 8, 2015, St. Vincent de Paul would like to express a heartfelt thank you for all the food you collected in our honor. That's two hard words to say in a row, Bill. In our honor. The whole idea of asking people to bring a food item to the concert was a great idea. We also would like to thank Sandy Bush for delivering all the food to our food bank. Our large family of poor is growing daily, and with kind, generous churches like yourselves, it helps make our job easier. We truly appreciate your continuous support to help us help one family at a time. This time of year is depressing to many, so having food on their table and gift under their tree makes the holiday a lot better for most. One person can and does make a difference in the lives of others, and you all at the Second Congregational Church are proof of that. May you and all your families have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. Sandy Bali, Director from St. Vincent de Paul to our church. Not to me, not to Deacon Jim, but to all of us. Amen. Thank you. They appreciate what we did. What a blessing. We need to appreciate and remember and enjoy the blessings of what Jesus did for us. We celebrated his birth, but that celebration just goes bigger and bigger and bigger. He took the bread and he broke that bread, telling his disciples, this is my body being torn for you. Let me tell you, church, they didn't understand what you understand today. They didn't know what you know. And Jesus looked at them and simply said, eat and do this in remembrance of me. Say, I don't have time to talk to God, Pastor, I'm busy. No, you always have time to talk while you're doing what you're doing. Say, Lord, thank you. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you that I'm able to do this job. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to take this test. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to drive this car. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to see these things and enjoy these things. As you're doing what you're doing, thank him. Talk to him. See that this year could be the greatest year of your life. that everything you have up till now is nothing compared to what he can give you tomorrow. The blessings that fall on you tomorrow, the strength that falls on you, the loved ones you want so much to know him can come. The lives you want to change can happen because you love him. Because he first loved us. Thank you, Deacon. My body being torn for you, I'm going to take your chastisements. The pain I'm going to take for you. I'm going to stand in that gap for you. Do this in remembrance of me is all he asks. In Jesus' name. He said, it is finished. He did it once for all. He told his disciples as he poured the wine into a cup, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. He no longer has to shed his blood for you. He simply asked that we do this in remembrance of him. Much to be thankful for. This church has so much to be thankful for this year. We saw a growth that we've been praying for, but we know it's only the beginning. And our knees should be just trembling at the fact that how much more we're going to grow and that we need to be stronger, to just be just crazy excited. We've learned we need to grow by twos and ones, threes, so that we can take care of the new families who come and bring them in and just mix them in with us and make this soup better. We can do that easier with twos and threes than we could a great multitude of people. But we need warriors. We need fighters. We need those who believe. We need leaders. We need more deacons. Lord, we know we need elders because Elder Pat is by herself. She needs prayer warriors. My wife and I have just promised that we will be closer to her this year so we can be her prayer warrior. We can lift her up because she gets the burden of other people's pains that she carries and prays for. She needs to have us, all of us, lifting her up, seeing her prayers, how powerful they are spiritually according to the Word of God. Plastic. Deacon Bill always gives me a shock. Must be the shoes. Come home to Jesus. That's what we have on the church. That's the website. My little granddaughter was listening to that last night. Thank you, Jesus, so much. In Jesus' name, he said to do this in remembrance of him, our Lord and Savior. Guide us, Lord, that we be stronger. Give him praise, church. Tell your kids and your grandkids, and sometimes you might not think it, but my wife was talking to Madison on the phone last night and just mentioned that our servants are on, because of Fred, they're on online. And while she was talking to her, she looked up comehometojesus.org. And as they're talking, she says, Second Congregational Church, Derby, Connecticut. Is that your church, Nana? Kids want to know the truth. They want to know more. Amen. They want to be fed. They want to be encouraged. That's testimony.